In most churches, you have what they call membership. That means you get the secret handshake, you pledge your blood, sweat, and tears to a church, and what that means is then you get on their mailing list. And in this mailing list, then, you get invited to business meetings for the church. At Whitewater, we don't have membership. We do have secret handshakes, but those are for something completely different. That's if you want an extra sugar packet for your coffee. But we don't have that here. What we have is you, and what we have is me. And together, that's what makes up our budget. So that's what you get to sit through today. Deal? I think this is the first time we've ever officially done anything like this, to my knowledge. One of the worst fears of a pastor is getting up and talking to you about money. But I'm not going to talk to you about money today. I'm going to talk to you about life in Jesus today. Can I do that?
Yeah.
We're going through a sermon series in John. And John, in chapter 20 of John's writing, he says, I write this to you that you might... sit through a budget presentation. Can I read it to you? Can I read it to you? My iPad died on me this morning, so I've got to use this tiny phone. And Caleb said, you can use mine, which is like the size of a tablet. I don't know. John says this in John 20, verse 31. I write this to you. This entire book, all of these things that we've written to you, is for the purpose of this. That you may believe in Jesus, that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in His name. That you may have life in His name. Well, what does this life look like? Looks like many different facets, doesn't it? Looks like many different things within this life of Jesus. One of these things is us. And our time, and our finances. This is just one aspect of this life in Christ. Now, what this usually means is that we give money to the church on Sunday mornings, right?
Right.
Hopefully. What this usually means is that you come on a Sunday and you pay for a performance. What this usually means is you come on a Sunday and you pay for eloquent speakers like myself. What this usually means is that you come and you give money to the church. What this usually means and should mean, the more I've been within church, the more I've been within Jesus. This is what I found this life of giving means. This is what I found this life of giving of my finances and giving of my time means. It means that my life does not belong to me, it belongs to Jesus. And that means that every aspect of what I do should look like Jesus. That means everything that I say, that means everything that I do, that means every action that I have and possess within myself needs to look like Jesus. Now, usually this thing called giving that we do catches up with us over time. And that's kind of one of the last pieces that sometimes it takes a while to usher in this life that Jesus has given us. And so we as a church, we as Whitewater Christian Church, we are learning this act of giving. We are learning this beautiful thing that Jesus, one of these facets of this life that you are learning about and hearing about and signing up for is giving. And so some of the stuff that, you know, I was a kid, I was born in the church. I'm a pastor's kid. And so I, from the time I was making $1 a week in allowance, I really only made 90 cents. Because my mom and dad wanted to teach me early on that the Old Testament principle of giving within the Scripture, you see a tenth of everything that they have goes to God. And so my parents have followed that rule and they've given a tenth of everything that they've had made money-wise. And then they taught me that, you know, well, 10 cents goes to God, and the 90 cents is yours to do with whatever you want. And I'm not a good saver, so I just spent it on bubble gum and soda and, you know, cool things like Beavis and Butthead cards. Anybody know who Beavis and Butthead is in this day and age? Yeah, I bought cards secretly of Beavis and Butthead, and they had scratch and sniff features on them. I thought it was awesome as like a young child that they had these scratch and sniff cards. Anyway, so ever since then, I've given 10%, but ever since then, as a kid, you know, that's just what I did. I didn't really understand it. And ever since then, that's been a principle that's been instilled in myself. That's been a principle that's been even instilled in my family and my wife and my kids. We said, yes, we're going to give 10% of our income to the church, specifically to Whitewater. And I don't know if my kids understand why they have to do that. They how much are you going to give to Jesus? How much are you going to give to God is the question. And I'm surprised at their generosity a lot of times. They still haven't figured out money management. Zero's like, all of it. You won't have anything to spend. That's fine. Until we're at Walmart that night and he's crying through the aisles that he gave all his money to Jesus. Darn Jesus! Took all my money. But this 10% thing, this Old Testament practice of giving 10% to the church, this is something that I had to grow into. And this is something that I didn't understand even though I did it. I did it because that's just what you do. And then as I started progressing in my years of marriage with my wife, and we really started just following after Jesus and chasing after Jesus, I realized that nothing in my life was safe. I realized that nothing in my life, my time, my family, my money, nothing was safe. Because Jesus has a different plan for my finances. Jesus has a different plan for what I think is important. One of the hardest things for me to do, there was a guy that needed help psychologically, another pastor that I know, and he needed some help. And it was to the tune of $5,000 to go and visit this facility. And I remember saying, God, I would love to give him money if I had the money. God said, you have that money and it's wrapped up in one of your guitars. Has anybody ever been racked before? I got both of them in one swift kick. It hurt me because here I am professing with my mouth, God, you know, I would love to help. I would love to be this for this person. I would love to see this change happen within this person. And I just don't have any way to make this happen for this person. But if I had the cash money, I'd do it, God. You got the cash money. Now go make it happen. So then I start praying, okay, God, well, if this is really you telling me to do stupid things like this with my possessions, with my goods, with my hard-earned money that I invested in, then you need to make this, 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 and this happen. That means somebody would have had to buy that guitar for exactly what I paid for it. That means, and no one would do that in the guitar world. Nobody would pay what you paid for it brand new. That just doesn't happen. And then all of a sudden, God just opens that door and says, yeah, there's going to be this guy, and he's going to buy it from you. No. No, he's not. Long story short, this guitar ends up going away. This money ends up coming in. And God dictated all of this. God brought about all of this. He's had us do other crazy things with our finances, and it doesn't really make sense at the time. It some of it honestly doesn't make sense. I had a buddy who is a fantastic musician, doesn't love Jesus, but needed to record an album, and I heard God say specifically, you're supposed to help with the recording costs of this album. And I thought, God, this is kingdom money. I don't know how you justify this. But we helped. Outside of money, We've opened our home. God provided this beautiful home and this beautiful vehicle for us through miraculous ways, which that's another story for another time. But since then, we've never been able to say no to anybody that needs a home, that needs a place to stay. We've had house guests for up to 3-4 months sometimes. And some of it's not easy, but we can't say no. The vehicle that God's blessed me with, anybody that has needed a ride anywhere, where are we taking you? Where are we going to go? But all of this stuff is provisioned by God. All of this money that we think we have that is our possession is all a provision of God. Winston Churchill, you guys know who that is? Winston Churchill says this, "You make a living by what we get. We make a living by what we get, but we make a life by what we give." So often in this town, in the last 8 years, Whitewater is only 8 years old, and it's a church plant, meaning we moved here 8 years ago, and we were meeting in a living room on a couch. And this is what it is 8 years later. Whitewater is a church plant, and within a very short amount of time, Whitewater became known as this. Anybody that has needed help in town, there's a catchphrase that we get a lot, and I think we just heard it again last week. I am in need of help. Nobody else will help me. And people know and say now, call Whitewater. They help people. And that's huge for us to be able to have that here in this town. In fact, we've helped people that needed help beyond. I'm not going to go into that story. Yes, I will. We help people that needed help beyond what we were able to help them with. And when another church in town found out they had been helped by us, they refused to help them because they have a beef with Whitewater. Oh, if you've been helped by Whitewater, that's a judge of your character and we're not going to help you. What's that? Well, no one knows that. We're the redheaded stepchild of the body. The sore thumb. But we have this thing about us as Whitewater. We call Whitewater, they'll help. And we do. We try to the best of our ability. We're not that giant of a body. But what we do, we have a huge impact in this community by what we do, by what we give. Our finances matter. Darby Wilson, that used to play guitar up here, just moved to Greeley a few weeks ago. He once did a giving message, and it went something to the tune of, "Your wallet shapes this community." Does that make sense? Your wallet shapes this community. What you open your wallet to in this community shapes this community. Whether you're at Hastings buying pornography, you're shaping this community. Whether you're pounding drink after drink at the bar, you're shaping this community. Whether you're exchanging money with drug dealers to get loaded, you are shaping this community. Whether you are giving money here on a Sunday morning, you are shaping this community. Ways in which we've been shaping this community. Do you guys remember what happened during Christmas? We helped with Head Start and hospice that are here in this building to provide much-needed items for families that didn't have money to go get them themselves. That's over and beyond what you have brought in with your finances. That's shaping this community. You remember what happened on Christmas Day? When we went and served firemen, police officers, ambulance drivers. That was over and beyond what you guys brought in. You guys were buying turkeys, cooking, your own time that you guys have dedicated to this stuff. That has helped shaping this community. What you bring in on a Sunday and you saw what we're able to give away to people to help with rent, to help with food, to help with gas, to help with lights, to help with whatever, you name it. When that money is available, it helps shape this community and helps take care of people. I know I'm good at blowing money a lot of places. I always have been. But the further and further I get into Jesus in this life that has been brought about by believing in Him and believing His Word and what He desires for me and my finances, I've been watching what He does. And it's incredible to know what He does with my time and what He does with my finances is far beyond anything that I could do alone, by myself. And especially when you add it into this group dynamic, when we're all giving and all being a part of this life, which is a part of being life in Christ, is being a servant, being a giver. Everything you have is not yours anymore, it's Jesus's. But we all pitch in together, and all of these little pitch-ins make this big impact. And some of the impacts I want to show you, we support a church work that happened in Sheridan, Wyoming, that just launched this last summer. Now, I got to meet a gal named Chandra, and she's in a wheelchair. She has not always been in a wheelchair. She got taken out in an accident, and her legs no longer work for her. But this church plant that we've been a part of, starting from the ground up, we give $5,000 a year for 3 years to help these people out. And they're a church that are just like us that started. And we relied on churches just like that to help us out financially. So they're a church plant, but let's listen to Chandra's story. Thad, you want to play that?
I'd say probably, 2 years ago, I was having feelings of still that anger towards God. It wasn't as much. I came to a point where I knew I needed something more. Wasn't sure what it was, but I needed something. I really started contemplating where I wanted to be with my relationship with God, what I wanted out of it. If it was just a season thing, or if it was something that I wanted for a lifetime, then about a year later that I was able to fully ask for forgiveness for my sins and say, I want to follow you and I want to go all in. When I, within my heart said, this is what I want, and I can now say today that it's absolutely what I want. I have to say that today I want to be baptized to, not just for myself, of me going all in, but also showing the people around me that I'm going all in, and that I'm giving my life, my whole life, to Christ, and that He is in control, but I'm not.
One of the many stories. They're coming out of Sheridan. And we're helping with that. We're a part of this work. Is that cool? Your dollars are helping people in Sheridan, Wyoming find Jesus and the life of Jesus. That's huge. Whitewater, our mission statement is persistently moving the world two steps closer to Jesus. And I always thought world was kind of an ambitious goal because we're stuck in Laramie, Wyoming. Yeah, we got a huge worldly impact. But we do. When you start seeing lives changed and the people that are affected by Chandra and her story, they're people that we don't have contact with. But we do by what we're able to give. We don't only just give money. We have gone down and prayer walked Sheridan, the entire city of Sheridan, before there was even a church there. We've gone down and helped with park events that they've had to raise awareness about them being there in Sheridan. We've gone down, we just took a team about a month ago or so and led worship down there because their worship guy was out that day. So it goes far beyond just our money. It goes to our time and being willing to be that, to persistently move the world two steps closer to Jesus. This is why we do what we do. Now, all of this is not local and dollars that we spend here that we just give to Sheridan. It's also foreign, and we have several of you that have actually gone on missions trips that we've helped with. And ever since Whitewater's history, we've supported that work. And one of the things as Whitewater, we are a church plant. We were planted to plant churches that plant churches that plant churches that plant churches that plant churches. I won't go the full length of the stage, but do you understand what I'm saying? We were planted to plant churches that plant churches that plant churches. That's our existence. And so we're trying to stay true to that by how we spend our funds, by how we spend this money that you and I and us pool together to make a dent in this world, to make a big impact. And one of the ways that we've done that is through missions trips that some of you have been on. I don't know if Alex is in the room today, but Alex and who else, Craig, help me out. Elena, yeah. Just those are the most recent. But alongside of that, we've partnered with Hope International. And what Hope International does is puts together like micro business loans for people and teaches them about Jesus. I'm not doing a good job of telling you about it, so we're going to watch another video. Can we do that? Let's talk more rock. Here we go.
At Hope International, we look at the world around us and see beauty and potential. But we also see brokenness, broken communities, broken families, and broken dreams. We believe that God wants to restore this brokenness. Hope International's mission is to invest in the dreams of families in the world's underserved communities as we proclaim and live the gospel. We do this in four ways. We provide people with biblically based training, equipping them to mobilize the skills God has given them. We offer them a safe place to save money for the future. We help unlock their potential through small loans. And we disciple, pointing people toward Christ while connecting them to local churches. We call this approach uncharity. So what does uncharity look like? Meet Marie. Marie lives in a large city in the Democratic Republic of Congo. With no formal education and few jobs available, she and her husband struggle to provide for their children. God has given Marie skills, dreams, and a great work ethic. She's a talented seamstress, but with her family's limited income, it would take her 20 years to save up $100 for a sewing machine. But what if Marie could buy a sewing machine today? Through Hope, she joins a group of entrepreneurs from her community and receives a small loan. She uses the money to make her sewing business a reality, meaning more regular income for her family. Over 6 months, her group meets every other week. During these meetings, they worship, study the Bible, complete biblically based training, save money, and make repayments together. Marie is hearing about Christ's love and learning to walk with Him. Now she is more able to put her skills to work and her family is on the path to thriving. But uncharity is more than just small loans. Meet Daniel. Daniel is a farmer in rural Malawi. His family lives mostly on the crops he grows and they sell whatever's left over. Even though he works hard, Daniel never seems to earn much beyond his family's daily needs. But when neighbors from a local church invite him to a savings group, he joins. Each group member saves small amounts, sometimes as little as 10 cents a week. As their collective savings grow, they can use these funds for school fees, emergencies, or to invest in businesses. With his savings, Daniel buys and raises goats, selling their kids at market, and eventually he saves enough for a cow. When the group meets together, they support one another, pray, study scripture, and learn how God has equipped them to provide for others in their churches and communities. Now, Daniel has more hope for the future. Around the world, we're seeing men and women use the gifts God has placed in their hands, their time, dreams, and talents, to break the cycle of poverty. We're seeing them reconciled to their Creator and their dignity restored. We're seeing relationships thrive within families, neighborhoods, and communities. That's Uncharity. Learn more about investing in dreams at uncharity.org.
Is that awesome? Two people agreed. No, is this boring to you guys? I get it. It's dry. It's drab. But we want to give you a picture of where this money is going. When these bags come by and you drop money in, this is where it's going. It's going to people that you're meeting their basic need, A, which is huge, and then they're hearing about Jesus. That's a little bigger, right? Yeah. So you have this incredible thing going on with Hope International, and again, just our broadened worldwide reach that we're able to have here in Laramie, Wyoming. Another reach we're able to have is through Gary Shear and his organization that you're going to hear a little bit more about here. But I want to let you know that the unique situation that we have here at Whitewater is very unique. Meaning this building that we meet in and the 10-year lease that we signed for this place, to be able to be here and have this building and not have to build a building or have any kind of weird overhead like that, that's unique. That church planters kill for something like this. I've had hits out on me for it. But church planters kill to have this kind of a situation that we have. Now what that means is it doesn't mean that we're better than any other church because we've chosen to do church a little differently by leasing our property, but because of the deal that we're getting here is incredible. What most churches have to do is build. What most churches have to do is have a space that they can call their own so they can continue to worship. And Solomon Foundation comes and they help with that directly. Now, what they do is you invest with Solomon Foundation and they take all these investments and they help these churches build these buildings. And it dawned on me, it was kind of crazy, this week I've been sick all week long. I've never been this sick in my life. You're welcome. I'm feeling better, much better now. But I've been sick all week long, so I'm sitting in my office and then it dawned on me and I told, and it was just the weirdest thing is, the very first church plant that was ever planted within our organization was in Spearfish, South Dakota. And I think they were planted over 11 years ago. Well, Spearfish has been meeting in a high school this entire time. And it was time for them to build. And it was time for them to move on. So they did. They started building through Solomon Foundation. It just hit me this week that the dollars that we have invested through Solomon Foundation as Whitewater directly help this church plant that started before us, the Big Brother church plant. And we have a hand in helping them as we have helped in Sheridan, as we have helped get them off the ground, as we have helped in North Dakota get them off the ground. We are able to give to share Spearfish in this way by investing through Solomon. So if I could sum all of this up, all of your dollars are very intentionally spent and given out. I hope that comforts you some. I hope you know, I know I drive around in a Bentley around town. That's a lie. Does anybody know what a Bentley is? Is that a cool car anymore? Probably not. Anyway, whatever. But all of your money is being intentionally spent. Everything that we bring in is being very intentionally spent to plant churches that plant churches that plant churches, that invest in people's lives, that introduce them to Jesus, that bring about this life that John is talking about in the series that we've been going through. And that's the most beautiful thing. Let's hear from Solomon.
In spite of the fact that the Solomon Foundation does a banking function, we are a ministry. And we're a strange ministry in that we are a ministry that does not ask for donations, We ask for deposits. We ask you to partner with us. Our core values are these, and we live by them. Number one is to honor God. Number two is to help people know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Do you know of a bank or a financial entity that has those two core values? Number three is to provide the best interest rate possible. We start at 2.25, goes all the way up to 4.75. Number four is to help churches take the next step, such as Spearfish. 111 other churches we have helped as well. How does this translate? This is not some crass money thing. When you invest with the Solomon Foundation, open a savings account, whether it's for $25 or $25,000, you touch lives. I travel the 11 states sharing the ministry of Solomon. I'm in 20 churches that we have loans with. And every time that I'm with one of those churches and I see a baptism taking place, I know the money that I invested at Solomon had a hand in that person's eternity. This is about mission. Please pick up one of these. Take a look at it. If you've got a little money market account or if you've got a savings account, consider putting it with Solomon. The interest would be at 2.25. That beats what the bank is doing. But more importantly, here's the whole principle. Kingdom people have kingdom money, and invested at Solomon has a kingdom impact. It's a win for you with the interest rate. It's a win for Solomon. We get to help more churches. It's a win for that person who does not yet know Jesus as both Lord and Savior. Please take a look at us. I'll be here to answer any kind of questions that you have. You are a blessing to the kingdom as you continue to be Whitewater and share the person and the love and the presence of Jesus Christ. God bless you.
Thanks, Gary. Gary Shear is awesome. He likes to buy me lunch. So you know that means he's awesome. Amen to that. So that's literally it, ladies and gentlemen. That's it. Your money is spent wisely. Your money is spent with kingdom impact. That's the driving force of everything that we do here. And we just wanted to give you that update. Now, the beautiful thing is I don't have to get up here and tell you that we're a third of the year through in our budget. We're in the black. We're fine. Which, you're clapping, that's unique for Whitewater, because that's not Whitewater. Our first pastor heard that money would never be an issue at Whitewater. And it never has been an issue at Whitewater. We just have never had a lot of it. And God likes to make us sweat a little bit sometimes, thinking that we won't have it. But that's the beauty of it. We're not here begging for your money. We're here inviting you into this life, this piece of this life that God has invited you into, that Jesus is asking of you. Go all in. And that does include your finances. And that does include your time and your schedule. Sound good? You all are awesome for enduring this. I hope it wasn't painful. This is the first time I've ever done it. I totally anticipated you all to bring like nasty, rotting fruit. That's why we didn't promote this, that it was happening this Sunday. But I'm excited by what's going on at Whitewater. I'm excited to see the reach when we start zooming in on our financial situation and saying, look at what all of these little contributions from all of us have done in the world today, in the last 8 years. So to you guys, I say thank you. Thank you for being faithful. Thank you for being givers. Thank you for being givers of your time, your money. Thank you for following Jesus. Let me pray for us. God, we love you and we thank you just for the snapshot of the financial situation here, God. God, we thank you for what you have done and how you have moved through all of this. We're not a huge church, but we have a huge impact here within our community. We have a huge impact through the church plants that we've helped get off the ground, through the church plants that have gotten off the ground before us that we're able to help, through our local dollars spent here for people that need help desperately, for our foreign dollars that are spent to send missionaries and people to tell people about Jesus, about you. God, for the money that we're able to give these microloans and meet basic needs at their core. Father, I'm grateful for what you accomplish here at Whitewater. God, I'm grateful for what you accomplish here in Laramie, and I'm grateful for the givers that you have here that give of their time, give of their money. God, that have said, I'm all in, and understood what that meant. And God, for those that are just dipping a toe in their water, and it does take time to understand these things, to be these things, to give that freely, without question, God, it does take time. I just pray for those that are dipping their toe in, God, just show them your value with what you desire to do with their time and their money. It's in your name we pray, and everybody said, amen. Amen.